In my lifetime, I have seen many technologies emerge. The internet, pocket supercomputers, digital music, and the old guard fought it, tried to capture it, and eventually learned to live in harmony with it in each case. The smart ones have even started to make money again in spite of it. One thing I have seen over and over is technology will find a way. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. I hope you are having a wonderful week and about to have a wonderful weekend. We have got a really fun read and a pretty short one too from the BitcoinTalk.org forums, actually. And this is from user Caps Lock, which I don't really know much about this individual or how to get in touch or follow them, but I will have the link to the BitcoinTalk.org forum post so that you can read to the rest of the forum or the thread and check out other Caps Lock posts if you would like. But this really fun read is just a Saturday long post about how bad humans are at framing or building new patterns for things that are genuinely unique. How it is that we are constantly translating or attempting to translate old patterns onto new things, and how that allows us to fail so badly at truly understanding them, and what we can learn from that for why and how Bitcoin is going to do literally all of the things. A quick thank you to our amazing sponsors, the Set It Once and Stack Forever Bitcoin Savings Plan with Swan Bitcoin. I stacked today. Hope you did as well. And it also gives you the wonderful auto withdrawals to your keys. So don't miss out on that. SwanBitcoin.com/guy is my reference link, and it gets you $10 free sats to start your plan. And then, of course, the Bitbox O2 hardware wallet from Shift Crypto. Just an awesome hardware device for your Bitcoin keys. It's open source, and it's really intuitive for the first-time hardware wallet buyer. So if you are getting yours, don't forget discount code GUY gets you 5% off. And with that, let's go ahead and get into today's read with a fun guy's take afterward, and this one is titled A Caps Lock Saturday Long Post brought to you by Coffee, the liquid that keeps me going. Why Layer 2 and sidechains will do all the things. According to Scott Adams, our brains are pattern recognition machines. I think he's onto something, but like him, I also believe we are really not very good ones. AI and the like will end up running circles around us in the end. People get stuck in some of those patterns. We process our world using allegories. It's why memes work. We have a top 40 station playing our patterns to us in our heads all day long. The ones we have learned. The ones that benefit us and give us mental handles to manage what we do and how we think. And the ones that trap us. The old patterns we all fight to overcome. And I do not think it's obvious how deep these patterns go. For example, take driving. If you are old enough to remember the days before maps on your smartphone, you remember using a paper map or just knowing your way around town. When I have to go to the airport, there is a set path I follow. It's worked great for all the years I have used it, and I have never missed a flight on account of being late. It is a great route. It has worked for years perfectly. It is the route I use. It is perfect. Well, then one day, I decided to let Google tell me which way to go, since it can help route around traffic. That's helpful tech right there. And it turns out it was a slow traffic day. Nothing to route around. But Google suggested a route that was one of the most ass-backwards things I had ever seen. It was taking me way further south and then west than my more sensible, perfect route that I had been using forever. Why on earth would it do this? Why have me wind through all those intersections and take a highway that is literally going the wrong direction for a while? Why on earth? Turns out the answer is simple. That route takes 10 minutes less time than the one I have used for so many years. For 30 years, I have been adding 10 minutes to my trip to the airport without knowing it. It has added up to hours in the car I could have otherwise spent doing something better, like making another pot of coffee. Wow. Thanks, Google. Actually, one small way you guys stuck to don't be evil. But then this deeper thought hit me like an avalanche. Driving is one thing. I mean, who really cares if I've been going the long way? It's no big deal. But how many other ways do I have of processing the world that are suboptimal? How many routes does my brain take that are really not the best choice? How many patterns have I deeply burned into my mind and muscle memory that I actually think are the best possible way to do or understand something, when in fact they are trapping me, limiting me, holding me back? Time to put some whiskey in the coffee. Damn. Well, understanding money is a fundamental aspect of living in the world that we have all gotten really good at, or bad, depending on how you look at it. And understanding Bitcoin is one level more abstracted, since it is mostly novel. We all know from trying to explain Bitcoin to a friend or relative how it's kind of hard to understand, even though it's not an overly complex concept. We use patterns to try to figure it out, allegories to communicate what it is and how it might be different than what we are used to. It's like the email of money. It's like PayPal, but without a trusted third party. It's peer-to-peer electronic cash. Book of Satoshi 1-1. No, it's digital gold. No, it's peer-to-peer digital cash. Nuh-uh, gold. We've been going back and forth for the last 7 years or so on that last one, and it has driven the narratives to this day. And we have pitted those concepts against each other like roosters in a cockfight. Since the community has chosen the digital gold narrative, small transactions will be too expensive, but all hail NGU technology. Saint Sailor has sworn upon a stack of white papers that Bitcoin cannot threaten the dollar because it is just digital gold, not transactional. Roger has frothed and almost popped his eyes out of his head, insisting that Bitcoin Core is broken, and if we do not use it as cash, bitch please, then Africa will burn and babies will die. I'm sorry if I get worked up, I just really care about the babies. Or, the banks have infiltrated Blockstream and set us on a path to New World Order, which is just the same old one in disguise. But here's the thing. Are we really taking the best route to the airport? Or are we stuck in our same old patterns? Are we arguing about what Bitcoin really, really fundamentally is? Or are we really just letting two memes fight to the death in the land of narratives designed to help us understand a new thing using our old concepts? We can't count on Layer 2 to solve problems. We're stealing revenue from the miners and giving it to Blockstream. Lightning is kludgy. We will never be able to open enough channels to make it work. Liquid is trusted. They just use the word federated. PayPal and Square are evil, and if you let them hold your coins, you will likely never see them again. If we don't scale on-chain, we are going against the holy scriptures. This tech will never work. Things we already know how to use are better. It does not fit into the tried and true systems we already use. These damn horseless carriages are gonna spook all the horses on the road. It'll never work. There are too many problems to solve. Quote, by 2005 or so, it will become clear that the internet's impact on the economy has been no greater than the fax machines. Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman, 1998. In my lifetime, I have seen many technologies emerge. The internet, pocket supercomputers, digital music, and the old guard fought it, tried to capture it, and eventually learned to live in harmony with it in each case. The smart ones have even started to make money again in spite of it. One thing I have seen over and over is technology will find a way. In the early days of the internet, there were arguments about how the network should scale that will seem very familiar to us today. The original TCP protocol contained both datagram transmission and routing, but some early tech folks who could see a little further than their peers began to realize it would be important to move the different parts of the protocol into separate layers for it to work well. John Postel, an early internet pioneer, was extremely prescient to point out, quote, "We are screwing up in our design of internet protocols by violating the principle of layering." And TCP evolved into TCP/IP. It was sort of the SegWit of 1973, and now not only can we send rudimentary text messages back and forth to people around the world, but we can watch an HD video documentary about the birth of the internet using protocols layered on top of that very network itself. Nifty. Oh, and thanks, John. Water finds the easiest path from the mountain to the sea. And technology finds a way to scale. All our mental pictures we try to use to explain it all will not make one whit of difference to Bitcoin in the end. Is it digital gold? Yes. Peer-to-peer electronic cash? Yes. Expensive to transact in? Yes. Almost free to transact in? Yes. Something powerful organizations will try to control? Yes. Will it help the babies? I bet so. Yes. Here is a little tool that just begins to pull the hood back on the future. CoinOS.io. That's just another web wallet, Caps. True. It's also custodial. Yuck. True. What's so special about it? Glad you asked. You can send and receive Bitcoin to and from this wallet. Nothing new there. You can send to a Bitcoin address like BC19Q blah blah, or you can send to a Liquid address like VJLDL etc, or you can even use a Lightning invoice or LNURL like LNURL1DP etc. Feel free to load those up, I promise it will go to a good cause, beer, coffee, or whiskey. And then you can send value out of it using any of those three systems as well. It does not have to do any calculations. It's all just Bitcoin. Send it 0.0013 BTC or 130,000 sats, roughly $75 today, and you can send that out on any of the three layers. Base, Lightning, or Liquid. Does not matter. Same, same. One Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. Only the fees and the security model will change. Coffee? Let's just use the Lightning network. Groceries? Maybe Liquid. Lambo? Yeah, let's use the base chain. Oh, and while we're at it, I don't suppose we will want to buy our new Lambo with a web wallet. But you get the point, right? Water flows downhill. We need ways to send value. Tech will find a way. It blows up all our models. Digital gold cannot be transactional? I beg your pardon. People can stop saying things like, since the Bitcoin community has chosen the path of digital gold, Bitcoin will never be able to blank. Because Bitcoin is not limited by the models we use to describe it. Bitcoin is not digital gold, or even peer-to-peer electronic cash. May Satoshi shine his wisdom upon us, at least not all the time. It can change form at the touch of a finger. I was going to say click of a mouse, but even that idea pattern is starting to get a little old. Things change. Money is changing. And the patterns we used yesterday to understand how it works are breaking down, and new ones are emerging faster than we poor pattern recognition machines can really understand. Honey Badger don't care, and tech will find a way. A better way than we had before. Better in ways we can only begin to imagine. CCMF. I have no idea what CCMF stands for. I kind of looked around through here to see if I could make some sense of it. No luck so far. If you want to let me know, shoot me a DM. Let's real quick hit our sponsor, and I want to do Guy's take on this piece. So Bitcoin will do all of the things. Your responsibility is to safely store your Bitcoin keys. The Bitbox O2 is the weapon of choice. It is the digital Swiss bank vault for your Bitcoin Swiss bank account in your pocket. It's open source. They have a Bitcoin-only version for the diehards. That's the one that I recommend and I personally use. It has a very, very simple setup process. It backs up crazy fast to a micro SD card, and you can do a manual backup as well. Easy app with a built-in guide to walk you through everything. It's really one of the simplest onboarding processes I've gone through in a hardware wallet. It's got coin control. It's got Tor support. They've got native SegWit multi-signature. The whole package. It's just the Bitbox, man. And you get 5% off with discount code GUY, G-U-Y. Go to guyswan.com/bitbox to find out more. Plus, check out the other great security products they have on their store. So I really loved this post. Thank you to whoever it was that actually recommended it to me. And I kind of love that the majority of this thing is mostly about the failure of narratives and how we as humans try to make sense of things, that we have these ingrained deep patterns that we relate to the rest of the world through, and we filter everything through these same patterns, even when they don't work. This is absolutely true, and it is literally why I think analogies are the key to understanding everything, they are the real explanation, because they are the relationships, and not because they're accurate, like we saw just as an example in his story, that they can fail us just as often as they inform us, but because they are patterns and relationships that we do have some sort of model for, and therefore they're going to shed the most light, they're going to tell us the most about something new and give us some frame of reference to relate it to or relate to it. But in truth, they are all inadequate. They're necessarily inadequate. They are only there to explain or inform about one sort of piece or perspective on it, very much like the 12 blind men or 7 blind men trying to describe an elephant. They're all at a different place on the elephant. They're all going to explain it differently. One's at the trunk and realize it's like a giant snake. And another one's at the foot and it's basically a tree, et cetera, et cetera. And when I try to explain Bitcoin, I'm not necessarily only giving one side of it. I say all the time that Bitcoin is incredibly multifaceted. There are so many different perspectives by which one can view and see something new or interesting about Bitcoin or some other use or purpose and path that Bitcoin has or presents in the world. And Caps Lock here is absolutely correct that Bitcoin does not fit into any of our narratives or models. It really doesn't. It is unique in its own right. So where people think it's one or the other of some horribly oversimplified meme like digital gold or digital cash is itself a fallacy for how to think about it. It's a suggestion that Bitcoin is the product itself and that it's just finished in whatever state it's currently in. If we have small blocks, well then that means it's digital gold and it can't be used for anything else because look how it is right now in this moment. If we've got big blocks, oh well now it's a payment network, now it's peer-to-peer cash. They're just memes. They're just memes that we're arguing over, but they have absolutely nothing to do with actual Bitcoin, with the actual protocol itself. It neither knows nor cares about any of these things. And like trying to argue that the internet is going to be great for text, but not for images, and it shouldn't have images on it. And that seems silly, but I shit you not, this was a real thing in the early days of the internet. There were serious debates about whether excessive media would cheapen the internet, and that it was great as a text and information portal, but that media was going to bog it down, it was going to cheapen it and make it more of a gimmick, and it was going to bring all the masses on and make it stupid. Guess what? The internet didn't give a shit about which one was the better argument or which one was the better goal or whatever the hell. Like, they were just narratives. This is about discovery. We are discovering something that is ever-changing, and we are all working on this thing collectively. It is going to move. It's going to start moving faster and faster. Understand, the base layers are inherently incredibly slow to change and very slow to develop. But the thing is that it starts to build on itself. A little bit of progress at the base layer, and when you finally get a solid second layer or one or two second layer protocols, suddenly the ability to move forward becomes exponential and it feeds back on itself. But we are discovering how this thing is going to be used. We are discovering the best tools and best protocols, and that is at the heart of the Stay Humble Stack Sats. When Bitcoin does not meet our vision of it or our expectations of what we thought it was going to do, we should change the vision and our expectations, because they are, in fact, just models that we have tried to fit Bitcoin into. They are just our expectations. We inherently have something to learn. If Bitcoin is not meeting those expectations, we have something that we have failed to understand. We should not be trying to bend Bitcoin to meet our expectations. If I have failed to bend Bitcoin to my vision of it, then I should be wondering what it is about Bitcoin that I'm failing to grasp. What element of it did I not fully account for? And that's what I did. That's what I did. That's what I've done many, many times, and I try to keep doing, actually. I was once a big blocker. I once thought that was the way we were going to interact with Bitcoin. That made the most sense. Talk about dirt simple. What's easier to market than, oh, you can only do 1,000 transactions or 3,000 transactions per block right now? Well, let's make the block bigger. Let's do 6,000. That is better. That is of bigger scale. 6,000 is bigger number than 3,000. Success. We win. Who can't understand that? That's why it still has so much power, is because there's no nuance. There's no subtlety. There's no discussion of the trade-offs. There's no understanding of what Bitcoin is and how it works. So when that started to not align, when there suddenly was a huge debate about this, and it seemed like Bitcoin wasn't going to change, or that there didn't seem to be any sensible way to even agree on how to change it, I had to come to terms with the fact that there was something about Bitcoin I was not grasping. Something was not lining up with my expectation or my quote-unquote vision of it, my model for it. And I'm still constantly humbled by stuff that I hadn't quite realized, or perspectives I was on the cusp of, but still had never really seen clearly. In fact, just recently, the Bitcoin is Time piece from Gigi, that was something that I had danced around 100 times, and I had even explicitly said it and kind of explained it, but the switch had never really clicked that what I was saying about it. Like, I knew there was something there, but somehow it was still in like 2100 and I had not seen it in 2020. And when I read that piece, it fell right into line. Like, there were like 4 or 5 puzzle pieces and suddenly they fit together in a different way than I hadn't quite grasped. And it's a giant clock. Bitcoin is a giant clock for ordering a monetary history and telling time without anybody in charge, without an authority as to what came before what. And yet another analogy that doesn't tell the whole picture, but it makes sense of another aspect of what Bitcoin is doing, and it is something that you discover by observing it. It is not something that you dictate onto Bitcoin. And I also just I also just love posts like this. I mean, this one really got me thinking, and I love this. But it's fun to read. It was just such a fun read. I hope you guys enjoyed my playfulness in it. Like, I get to go deep into some technical stuff and philosophical crap, like Breedlove and Eric Kaysen and all that stuff. But you know, sometimes they feel a little dry, and it's good to have something fun. You know, I love telling fiction. I love fiction. I love telling stories, and particularly about how elements of a story or whatever can give us a new perspective or explain some sort of a relationship and how this thing might alter a life, like somebody's actual life. And I really think we need more. And I know this isn't a story, quote unquote, but I think we need more stories in Bitcoin, both fiction and nonfiction. That's another really great thing about yesterday's piece by Gladstein, is that he told about real people. Real people, their stories, their situations, their environments, and how Bitcoin is changing things for them. How Bitcoin is changing their outlook on life and the future. How it offers hope in a hopeless situation. It's just, that was a really good piece. It's kind of stuck with me. That one was Check Your Financial Privilege, by the way. If you haven't listened to it yet, I highly recommend it, or read it. Anyway, bit of a tangent. So, Bitcoin will do all the things. Shout out on Caps Lock, actually. Jonathan Postel, absolutely brilliant guy. Hadn't thought about Postel in I don't know how long. And I kind of went back down a rabbit hole. It's like, oh yeah, Postel. He's a brilliant guy. Absolutely key to shaping shaping what the internet is today. There's just a treasure trove of stuff to explore on him, particularly if you're a heavy nerd. I would advise looking some stuff up on YouTube. There's an old 1990s documentary. There's a 1970s documentary, actually. There's the one on the something wizards. Oh, I can't remember exactly. I'll see if I can find it and maybe drop it in the show notes. But there's just a lot of good videos and stuff to explore, so I encourage it. But he was really one of the people that made the case among the original architects, who he was one of, that he was working with, to separate the protocol and the layers. That, like, we are violating all of the laws and the rules we know about layering protocols, to simplify each job into a robust, specialized protocol that would enable them to literally do everything they needed to do without complicating any single layer with pointless bloat or having to make changes to a single layer constantly that is going to constantly run into compatibility issues, which is even worse in Bitcoin because it is explicitly a consensus protocol. So if you think this was an issue with something like TCP, you can't even imagine how much more painful and stupid and costly it is to do this with a monetary protocol that achieves global consensus. So you're constantly affecting every other protocol built in and on your system. And just think about this in the context of altcoins, right? Imagine how many things are going to break if Ethereum actually moves to Ethereum 2.0. How much management and reworking needs to be done for that move to happen? What about the billions of dollars in GPU mining infrastructure? What about the 10,000 stupid apps built on top of it? What level of work and capital is needed simply to adjust to changes in the base layer? Not build something new, not improve, not iterate, simply to adjust to the fact that they keep changing the base layer. What kind of management cost is that? This is why I think in the long terms, these things just fade out. You know, regardless of what happens in the short term. It's like a company that tries to do 800 things and leaves too many of the we'll deal with it later issues at the very beginning. Like when they're building their infrastructure, their base. In the end, they might have 1,000x more capital because they rushed to a product and flooded to get as many consumers or as much hype or whatever it is as they could, but they also now need 1,000 times the capital just to pay engineers to keep it all from breaking. And then they have to try to focus every new piece of feature or tool or application that they try to now add requires an additional 1,000 hours to make sure that it's not breaking something else. And they just end up spreading their focus so unbelievably thin, having to do so many things just to do little movements so far down the road that the thing just collapses under its own bloat. And rather than specializing at the one critical thing that the protocol needs to do in order for everything else to work off of it, in Bitcoin's case, secure an independent, unstoppable monetary policy and ownership system. And a meme, nonetheless, but one that is basically the foundation, that's the purpose of the Bitcoin system. Instead of just hyper-focusing on making that the most robust and reliable protocol for that job that is anywhere possible, they try to cram all of it into the same layer. You know, this is kind of how, like, the philosophy behind that is kind of how Steve Jobs saved Apple. I'm not sure if you've read the book or like the biography or whatever it is about Steve Jobs. I've read a couple on him. And this is something that Apple, after they ousted him, they just spread themselves so thin. And when they brought him back in finally to correct everything, they basically did a brainstorm. They wrote out all of the things that the company was doing, and they did a brainstorm on all like 100 ideas that they could do in addition and all this stuff. They put it all on a board, and then he said, pick three. Pick three, we're going to throw everything else away, and those three are what we are doing. And that's at a company level. Bitcoin is not a company. Bitcoin is not a startup. But that's what all these altcoins and shitcoins are considering these things as. It's as if they think this is stock and that these are all going to be startups and that they're racing. It's just like the internet bubble. They were like, oh, we're going to lose money in the short term, and it doesn't really matter if we really have much of a product. We need to get as many customers as possible, and then we're going to be locked in. We're going to be the one that is the go-to for smart contracts, or the go-to for bananas on the blockchain, or the go-to for decentralized exchange, whatever the hell it is. And they sacrificed some of the most fundamental things to consider in order to get that as quickly as possible. And it collapsed. It collapsed. And from the dust, the slow builders, the ones with real plans, the ones that were actually iterating and making something sound that was providing a real purpose, actually came out of the dust. This is a protocol. It is a protocol, a robust system that lasts for decades, is one that does one critical thing, and additional tasks are layered on top of it. The next thing we want Bitcoin to do needs to be a layer on top of Bitcoin. Can anybody stop and think about just how many layers, how many different protocols there are on the internet? And I don't mean like the OSI layers or the TCP/IP layer models, which I don't know why everybody still references the OSI. The OSI is like not, that's not the internet. It's the TCP/IP layers, but whatever. I'm talking about how many protocols there are for how many different jobs that were not put into TCP. TCP is the base layer here. It is the connection and packet organizing layer. Just off the top of my head, we got like IP. That's the routing layer, essentially. And that was, you know, where John Postel came in, is that why are we trying to cram this in the TCP? We need to make this its own layer so that they work independently of each other, and that we don't risk breaking TCP if we make a change to the routing layer or update the routing layer, and vice versa. DNS for domain names. Then FTP, UDP, HTTP, the web, SMTP, and email, Tor, IPFS, BitTorrent, and all the file sharing protocols. I mean, I can't even count The number of routing protocols that have been adopted and used over the years, like inside routers and like local routing nodes, even the ones in your house, HTTPS, the OpenSSL and SSH, Telnet. I mean, the list could go on for ages. And you know what something like SSH does? Secure login. It just creates an encrypted connection. Does it do data streaming as well? No, it does that on a different layer. It just does the secure login. You know what TCP does? It just does the connections. It doesn't try to build the domain name system into the TCP IP, the TCP layer. It doesn't build in the encryption scheme for the connection. All it does is order packets and correct for errors. It makes a reliable, robust connection in the face of unreliable and often broken or partial data. Did you know that TCP, that the error correcting protocols at the base of the communication, you can actually lose like 5 to 10% of the information, and it can mostly fill in the gap? You can actually operate without a significant loss of quality to the point that you can't have a voice conversation? That with the buffer zone, you can still watch the video in full resolution, and it can, in on the fly, request any additional packets needed to fill in those gaps, and you just never know that it's happening? Did you know that the routes that you're taking to get to the same website might actually change multiple times while you're on the website? If once some route or server goes down along the way, just the other day in one of the episodes, I did a ping to the Google DNS, and it was, I think it was like 10 or 11 hops, I can't remember exactly. But if one of those computers goes down, the website might hang up for like literally a split second or two, but it will just find another route automatically and reconnect, and it will happen without me having the slightest clue that has occurred. In fact, even if I'm not doing anything on the website, those computers are constantly pinging each other. So let's say it's the seventh one in the hop that goes down. The sixth one is always pinging the seventh one to make sure it's still there. And after 30 seconds of inactivity, it's going to immediately start routing around it. It's going to essentially disconnect or assume that the computer is not there, and we're going to establish a new connection. It might happen while I'm scrolling the page and not doing anything. Every time I go to a different website, there's a new path. I'm on a new route to a new location every single time I click on a link. Think about all of the shit that is happening in the background. And it works. It just works. And it's because each one of those protocols is dedicated to doing one thing. And it does that one thing as well as it possibly can. This is why this TCP IP has survived for 50 years with incredibly minimal changes. I genuinely think this is the best model, or at least the best one I have come to internalize so far, by which to think about Bitcoin. It is all of the things that one can do with money, because it is the base layer of an entirely new and parallel system. The internet is one for communication and information. Bitcoin is one for value, an independent system of ownership and ordering of a transaction, of a financial history. Again, it's still limiting, but it's broad enough, I think, to encompass the main idea as far as memes go. Now, also, I had no idea until I read this about CoinOS, the CoinOS.io. It's really cool. So I was like, yes, I will click on this and send this strange website that I've never been to that's custodial my money. I would love to, because I want to tinker with all the Bitcoin things, and this is a special kind of neat. I had no idea that this existed. So I logged in. You can log in with LNURL, which means that your Lightning node, your Lightning wallet, is your identity. Now, I don't think you can do that with something like Blue Wallet or Wallet of Satoshi yet. I think you will be able to do it with Blue Wallet in the not too distant future. But right now you're sharing. So with like a custodial service like that, basically a whole bunch of people have the same quote unquote login, or they have the same keys, because, again, it's just Blue Wallet's keys, not your keys. But I think they, kind of like what LNPay or LNBits do, is that you can make as many sub-keys as you want. And I think that will kind of become the norm. I think that will always be the case, is that, you know, you'll be able to have a custodial wallet where you actually have your own quote-unquote sub-key to the quote-unquote custodial key. But so you can log in with LNURL. So like my Breeze wallet, I can just scan it and then sign a message over the Lightning Network, and I don't give it any info. I just scanned it and logged right in, and then boom, I've got a wallet. Logging in anonymously here. I can do this also, by the way, without any channels or a balance. So if you want to just download Breeze and do nothing, like not even receive a payment or anything like that, you can just scan it. Same thing with Sphinx. Excuse me, not Sphinx. Well, actually, maybe you can do it with Sphinx. Don't know about that one. But with Moon Wallet, M-U-U-N, or Phoenix Wallet, these are ones that if I'm 99% certain, you have LNURL capabilities with it. So I sent it 20,000 sats instantly from my BTC Pay server wallet, actually not from my Breeze. It shows up instantly. And then I punched in an address, or copy-pasted an address from my Aqua wallet, which is the Blockstream Liquid. It's a Bitcoin and Liquid wallet, which I had never used before. Well, that's not true. I'd put Bitcoin on it, but I'd never used Liquid before. And so I had this wallet, and I withdrew that same 20,000 sats that I just deposited with Lightning to Liquid. So I have 20,000 sats in Liquid BTC now, and it basically cost me nothing. I think I paid one sat for, or two sats, I think it was one sat for two hops, for the deposit. And then it said I paid 200 sats to withdraw to Liquid, which would be like 9 cent in total, but it didn't take away 200 sats from my balance. So I still got the full amount. So I don't know who got that fee. But there was nothing there. I think they estimated that I would pay a fee and then I didn't, maybe, I don't know. But again, this is the first time I ever held Liquid BTC, and sure, it was custodial, but it was custodial for like 30 seconds. And this could be done non-custodially. It's just, you know, requires a more robust, you know, sort of DEX or non-custodial service, something like Lightning Pools model maybe on the Lightning Network. But you could do this with HODL HTLCs and an atomic swap on Liquid really easily, and it would essentially work the same. So this didn't have to be. This is just kind of a proof of concept, right? It's obviously far more complex to make the decentralized version of such a thing, or the non-custodial version, than it is to just put up a server and let people make a wallet. That's pretty cool. That's pretty damn cool. And this is just the beginning of it. There will be absolutely nothing. Decentralized exchanges, stable coins, micropayments, discrete log contracts, Oracle betting, entirely private and hidden markets, private anonymous payment systems, like the BitTorrent of Bitcoin, anything that you can dream up will be possible on Bitcoin. And even cooler about what I just did was that it was basically private from the public. I mean, except that I just told everybody who listens to this show, but I sent 20,000 sats over Lightning, and nobody except for the other person on the end of that, the person on the other end of that payment, has really any idea that that payment was from me and what that payment was for or who it was to. And on the Liquid side, nobody knows anything except, of course, the sender. But publicly, it's a confidential transaction. They don't know what I sent. They don't know whether it was Liquid BTC or the mining security token or a stable coin or $1 million or $1. It's all completely private. Everything will be able to be built on top of Bitcoin. And even better is that it will be reliable. It will be more robust, and it will be long-term oriented. And it will be actually decentralized because it has a robust decentralized base to build it on. You'll never get that back if you sacrifice it at the base layer, if you sacrifice simplicity, reliability, and robustness at the base layer and decentralization. You cannot get that back on layer 2 and layer 3. The second you make that trade-off, it is gone for good, and you will pay the long-term consequences of having made that sacrifice. And just like the company that does that, that sacrifices the simplicity, that sacrifices a lot of bloated and half measures at the base layer so that they can build things quickly on top of it and thinks that it can go back later and change it, the task gets exponentially harder and exponentially more costly with every single new thing done with that protocol or built on top of it. Every day that goes by decreases the chances that that is ever even possible. And this is about a game of patience. This is a system of trust. And in the long term, monies tend toward one. And all the while that all these altcoins and smart contract platforms are rushing to build as much crap as they can and ride every single shiny gadget hype bubble, all the while, the tortoise is just moving right along. A new block every 10 minutes, across every border, brushing off FUD like it's a light breeze, getting banned in 10 different countries, squeezing past every firewall in the world, and maintaining a global, decentralized, independent monetary base. We will build 100 protocols on top of it just to get things started. And after the first one, and after the second one, and after the third one, things start to speed up, and they build on top of each other, and they accelerate. And 10 to 20 years down the road, this thing will be moving so fast that it will be genuinely impossible to keep up with it all, and the entire thing will be an absolute unstoppable force. And then probably after all that, we'll finally soft fork in some drive chains. So I've been reading a lot about drive chains recently. They're an four years old, proposed a while back by Paul Sork. Yeah, I never know how to say that guy's name. I've been recently digging back into them. I'd forgotten about them until very recently they showed back up. I can't remember. I think it was like Kyle Jacobs, if I'm not mistaken, who sent me a DM and took me back down that rabbit hole. Thank you, Kyle, for that. And with that, let's go ahead and close this episode out. I think I hit all my notes. Quick thank you to the lovely Bitbox O2 hardware wallet for all of its great attributes, including its rounded corners, and swanbitcoin.com/guy. Swan Bitcoin for your automatic no-hassle savings plan. Coupon code GUY on the Bitbox gets you 5% off. Don't forget that. And /GUY on Swan Bitcoin gets you $10 free just for signing up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bitcoin will do all the things. Don't forget to check out coinos.io if you want to play around with this. I will have the link in the show notes so you can explore about what it might be like for a Bitcoin future and how it can do all of these things. It's just a little taste of what's coming. So with that, again, thank you everybody for listening. This is Bitcoin Audible. And until next time, everybody, take it easy. This has been a 111 production, and you were listening to Bitcoin Audible on the Crypto Economy Network.